Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 1 o'clock this afternoon. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. Hope you were listening in the last half hour. Pastor Lutz was a good Bible message he was talking about, and congratulations to them. They're going to be celebrating their church anniversary at North Coast Baptist Church there in Lakewood this Sunday. So that was just to commend them and say congratulations to them for that. And then, of course, I hope you stay tuned after me at 2 o'clock. Got to think of the clock here a minute. At 2 o'clock, it'll be Pastor Andy Rusinacco of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid will be coming on. But in the meanwhile, you got me sandwiched in between those two. I'm Pastor Al Davis, as I said, pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We meet in Richfield, Ohio, and we'd love to have you come out and visit us. You can find out more if you go online to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more, like I said, about me, about the program. You can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. And you can listen to past programs. If you don't stay up on Sunday night for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, we're on every Sunday night from 11 or 10 o'clock until midnight. And so we've got 2 hours every Sunday night. And those are also available at livewithpastoral.com. And you'll find them as hour one and hour two. So you can listen to them in segments there, I guess, if you look at that, as well as past Friday afternoon programs as well. And then there's some other materials there. Some articles and different things that I've got written. The latest article that I have on there is Why Talk About the Blessed Hope, and talking about Titus 2:13, where it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So that's all available at livewithpastoral.com. And then, as I said, links over to our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We'll have information on that at the end of the program, but we meet at 4174 Wheatley Road, and that's in Richfield, Ohio. It's a commercial strip, so we're in Suite 200, so that's 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield. It's near where 271 and 77 cross, basically the corner of Wheatley Road and Brecksville Road. And we'd love to have you visit. We've got our Friday night Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock. It's an informal Bible study where people who come bring the questions, and we just have some fellowship around the Word of God. We do like we do on our programs, where we talk about questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. So lots to talk about, lots to do, and it's an informal Bible study. So we just have a nice, relaxed time, no set agenda, just the questions that people bring. That's what we go with, and we've got refreshments and things like that. We've got tables set up where you can put your Bible down, put a notebook out, take some notes, and also set down your coffee or whatever, and then just we just have a good relaxing evening. So if you're not doing anything on a Friday night and you want to spend some time in the Word of God, fellowshipping with other believers, let me invite you out to our Friday night Bible study at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. And remember, it's Suite 200. Don't look for a building with a steeple. You won't find us. Look for our door, Suite 200. And so anyway, we'd love to have you come out and visit. Well, we're going to get into a couple of things here today as well. And we've been going through some of the coming events, and I took a little break last week talking with Lisa Woods at McFan and some of the things there, but get back on tack. Originally, I was telling Pastor Lutz as he left the studio today as we were changing seats here that originally I was going to preach on and teach on the millennial kingdom, and I started leading up to it, and it's just ended up in a long series of things leading up to the millennial kingdom, and so we're still in that series today, and I wanted to start out today in the book of Romans, and we have several things that are coming up in the future as we lead up toward the millennial kingdom. And of course, first and foremost is the catching away of the believers. That's the, what we call the blessed hope, mentioned my article about the blessed hope there earlier. And that's the catching away. We've talked about that. We call that the rapture oftentimes. And so that's a part of it right there. And then, of course, after that, the revelation of the Antichrist, we go into the tribulation period. And so we've talked about some of these things and leading up to it. We're just kind of hitting on a few highlights here. There's so much that you can go into. And eventually, I'm hoping to wind up with the millennial kingdom here. But each week when I look at this, I think of something else. Something else comes to my mind and kind of attracts my attention. And I was reading an article talking here about the Great Reset. And if you're not familiar with that, the Great Reset, the World Economic Forum, the globalists and all are planning on a variety of things in order to set up a one world globalist government, one world order, a new world order, I might say. And of course, they are prevented from doing this. We've talked about this before in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it talks about the mystery of iniquity is already working in the world, but it's being actively prevented. And over the years, we've talked, and I've even had some guests that have talked about various things that were on schedule to be introduced to move the globalist agenda on. And people say, well, how come it never comes to pass? You know, people talk about the coming globalist agenda, but it never comes to pass. Well, the reason is, it's being hindered. They have an agenda, but it's not God's agenda. They have a time frame, but it's not God's time frame. And it'll happen when God allows it to happen. And when the Spirit of God ends his current ministry in the world, that'll be the time when the believers are caught up out of the world. We spent some time on the rapture previously. And when we're caught up, the mystery of iniquity will have full opportunity to manifest itself, and it'll come about with the, well, obviously come together world government, but the bringing forward of the individual the Bible calls the man of sin, the son of perdition, the beast, or as we know him, the Antichrist, and he will become this world leader. And so I was reading this article on the Great Reset and some of the things that they believe are going to happen. And there's a lot of people talking about things taking place here maybe by the end of 2023 and 2024. And again, I preface it with the fact that the Bible says the mystery of iniquity is working, but it's being hindered by the work of the Spirit of God there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So even though these are things that people see coming, it doesn't mean that it will happen on this schedule. If the rapture takes place, it will happen pretty quick. But I was reading an article about the three D's that the globalists have by Leo Homan, and the three D's, the four D's: digitization, dehumanization, destruction, and depopulation. And I don't have time to go into all of them right now, but digitization is basically the coming global move towards central bank digital currencies. All money will be digitized, and human beings being digitized in the sense that everything you do is going to be monitored and micromanaged. Dehumanization, the transhumanism and transgender pushing, all this sort of stuff. Destruction of cultural norms and gender distinction and different things like that. And then depopulation and the reduction of the world's population. And I've said before, and I learned this back when I was in college in the late 70s, early 80s at Colorado State University, about the movement way back then that the world population was supposed to be only 500,000, I think, 500 million, and 500 million people. That's really not very many, is it? And considering the world population right now is supposed to be around 8 billion or so, and there's also some question about whether or not that's the actual population. But this movement to depopulate the world, well, there's going to come a time when the world population will decrease dramatically. And I'm getting further afield from where I was going to go. I want to start here in Romans chapter 11, and I want to show you some things in the Bible that are going to happen that God says is going to happen. I appreciate what Pastor Lutz said in the last half hour. You know, people talk about red letter editions and, oh, those are words of Christ. You know, that's God's word if it's in the red letters. And he said everything in the Bible is God's word. And amen to that. Obviously, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And so we have here in Romans chapter 11 here, and we have a statement about the Jewish people. He said, what's that got to do with depopulation? Well, we'll follow through this here in just a minute. In Romans chapter 11, starting verse number 25, Paul says this, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes." What this is talking about here is the fact that there's coming a time when the Jewish people will realize that Jesus Christ is their Messiah. Well, right now, they don't believe that he's their Messiah. They reject Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They believe that he's a false Messiah. And as a consequence, like the Apostle Paul, who's writing here under the inspiration of God, so it is God's word, but Paul was a zealous Jewish rabbi who was trying to stamp out what he thought was heresy. He was doing what he thought was the right thing, trying to destroy this new movement of people who are following Jesus Christ, claiming that he was the Messiah. And he was trying to stamp this out when, of course, God miraculously saved him. That's a whole other area we won't get into right now for time's sake. But Paul, as Saul, was a rabbi who was fighting against what he believed was heresy. And so we have many people today, Jewish people today, who believe that when we as Christians say that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that that's heresy. And well, if I believe the Old Testament and I believe that Jesus Christ did not match up to the Old Testament scriptures, the prophecies and things that the Old Testament said of the Messiah, then I too would say it's heresy to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. But here's the thing, Jesus Christ does match up to the prophecies. He fulfills the prophecies, and he absolutely shows forth by that he is the Messiah. In fact, you know, he said, "Search the scriptures; they testify of me." And he fulfilled the prophecies in his birth, in his life, in his death. Hundreds of prophecies fulfilled in the exact order, in the exact manner of which they were prophesied. And so, clearly, he is the Messiah, just because some don't accept that right now. But the problem is for them, right now, there's a blindness upon the Jewish people as a whole. Now, obviously, some Jewish people, such as Paul, their eyes are open, and it can only be opened by the Spirit of God. But Paul said there in Romans 11, and verse 25 there, "I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel." Blindness in part. And I believe part of that is because when Jesus was being tried, and Pilate determined to try to release Jesus, could find no fault in him, and he asked, "Who should we release, Barabbas or Jesus?" And they said, "Barabbas." And he said, "What about this man?" And remember, they said, "His blood be upon us." And well, there's blindness in part because they rejected their Messiah in opposition to the scripture. Now, a lot of Jewish people are like a lot of people who claim to be Christians. They really don't read the scriptures. They talk about it. They maybe read it when they go to worship services or something a little bit. but they don't really spend time reading it and studying it. And as you begin looking at this, it's clear that he's talking about the Jewish people in Romans chapter 11, because he said, all Israel shall be saved. And some people say, well, that means the true Christians, because they're true Israel. And I know that there's some passages that use that phraseology, but in this particular case, we're talking about the Jewish people, because it says here in verse 27, this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. And he says in verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. So they're enemies on the basis of the gospel. They're against the gospel message. They do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And so they're enemies in that sense. And like Paul, before his salvation, he was fighting against what he thought was heresy. But there's coming a time when the blindness that they're currently under will be taken away, and they will be made to realize that Jesus truly is the Messiah. Well, when you go to Zechariah, second to the last book of the Old Testament, and let's start in verse number 12 here. There's some amazing statements here in Zechariah in the last three chapters. And with the few minutes that we have, I'm going to have to go through this quickly. But in Zechariah chapter 12, starting in verse 1, it says, The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Now what we're seeing here is things that are going to come to pass during the tribulation period. Right now, Jerusalem is a burdensome stone to the nations. And as we see this, he says it's going to become more burdensome, and it's going to culminate into a time when there's going to be a siege laid against Judah and Jerusalem. And so Israel and specifically Jerusalem and this whole area, we see, had to be here in the latter days. This is a sign of the Lord's soon coming, that Israel is there as a state today and that Jerusalem is their capital. And in that day, in verse 4, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts their God. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand, on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even Jerusalem. And the Lord shall save the tents of Jerusalem first, and that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. Now, they're going to see something happening here as God comes back to defend them. There's other passages that talks about the Lord coming back to defend Jerusalem, and we see this happening. And this is at the end of the tribulation period, as the Antichrist and his forces have surrounded, laid siege to Jerusalem. And God is going to come. This corresponds what we're starting to get into in Revelation 19, where it talks about the return of Christ from heaven at the end of the tribulation period. And those of us that know Christ as our Savior, we return with him as part of the armies of heaven. And the Lord fights and defeats the Antichrist and his armies and delivers Jerusalem. And it continues here in verse 8, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, and the angel of the Lord before them. Meaning he's not only going to deliver them, but he's going to empower them with strength. The feeblest will be like David. Remember King David, the warrior king, and said the house of David be like God, meaning incredibly powerful and strong. And he comes again in verse 9, it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And then notice verse 10, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, for they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. That key, that you catch what he said there. It said that he's going to pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. This means the spirit of God's going to come upon them, and their eyes are going to be opened. The blindness that they're now suffering, the Jewish people are now suffering, those who are alive here at this point in the tribulation have survived the tribulation to this point, that these people are going to recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. They're going to look on him whom they have pierced, and they're going to recognize that Jerusalem is the Messiah, Jesus is the Messiah, the one that they rejected, the one who was pierced, the one that was hung on the cross by their forefathers, who said, his blood be upon us and our children. They're going to realize that, yes, indeed, Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and he was the Messiah that their forefathers had rejected, that they themselves had rejected. And I believe that's the bitterness that they're going to have. And it says in verse 11, that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadarenim in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn every family apart, and the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart. They're going to mourn because they'll realize that they had rejected the very Messiah that they now see before them, that they could have escaped the tribulation period had they put their faith in Christ. This is why we witness to the Jewish people. This is why we believe that we ought to spend time witnessing Jew and Gentile alike, because we don't want anybody to have to go through the tribulation period. As you go through the tribulation period, and you say, well, the Lord's going to come back at the end of the tribulation, then they'll have a chance to realize that Jesus is the Messiah, and they'll get saved then. Well, yes, the ones that are there will, but unfortunately, not many are going to make it. Look at this, he says, and they're talking to him in chapter 13 in verse 6, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? And he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends, meaning the nail prints on his hands. And then as he's talking about this, he says in verse 8, it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Did you see what he said there? Two-thirds of the people will die. Only one-third will make it. You say, that's a lot of people dying, isn't it? Well, guess what? We've got these secular sources right now talking about how they believe the world's population is going to be reduced, needs to be reduced, and talking about things that might be happening that's going to cause a reduction in the world's population. And didn't have time to get too much into some of those articles there, but the Bible tells us during the tribulation that the Jewish people, only one-third of them will make it from the beginning of the tribulation to the end of the tribulation. Or put it this way, when the rapture takes place and we're caught up out of here, only a third of the Jews who are alive at that time will make it until we come back with Jesus at the end of the tribulation period. You say, well, that's a lot of people dying. Well, you know, the indication there, when he talks about a third, it talks about the land. The indication, if you use the Jews as an index, is that we might consider two-thirds of the world's population is going to die. Well, where will you be? Hopefully you'll be in heaven because you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. That's why we tell people you need to get saved. Now's the day of salvation. Today's the time you ought to put your faith in Christ, not wait. You have no guarantee that you'll make it. Well, thanks for listening. I just want to encourage you. Look up. The Lord's drawn nigh. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night
from 10 to midnight.
And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.